Now let's head to South Africa, which is where Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is this weekend. He's there for the G20 summit, the first to be held on African soil. And that's not just a big deal for the hosts, but the continent as a whole. Donald Trump is boycotting the event. He said earlier this month that it was a total disgrace that the G20 was being held in South Africa at a time when white Afrikaners were being killed and slaughtered and their land seized. But white farmers are not being slaughtered. South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa has described that as completely false. Let's talk to Sherwin Brice-Peace of the South African Broadcasting Corporation, SABC, who joins us from Johannesburg. Sherwin, thanks so much for joining us on ABC Radio National.
Nick, good to be with you. Good morning.
These days we see a lot of international summitry. These events come and go. Not many of them linger long in the memory. But am I right in thinking the G20 for South Africa is a real biggie? And obviously this historic first.
Absolutely. It's the first time, as you mentioned in your introduction, that it's been hosted on African soil. But it's also, Nick, I think the culmination of what has been a build-up by the developing South, by the global South. You had the first iteration of that under the auspices of the Indonesian presidency, followed by the Indians, the Brazilians, and now the South Africans. And so you've seen this trajectory build to this moment where they're kind of at the crossroads about how they actually find the financing to do the big, bold, revolutionary things that they need to do in terms of development, in terms of dealing with food security, in terms of dealing with critical supply chains as it pertains to minerals in Africa, retaining beneficiation, developing those minerals at home so that you can build economic growth. And I think you're at the point now where they're trying to figure out how are we going to close, for example, the $4.3 trillion annually, the annual $4.3 trillion funding gap for the SDGs, which are lagging. 35% of the targets are on track. And so this is a summit that is seeking to shift the ideology of the G20 away from just focusing on macroeconomic stability and market stability, but really looking at stability in terms of the economy, in terms of things like poverty, in terms of things like food security, and really improving the lives of people that find themselves at the bottom rung of society.
Yeah, you mentioned SDGs there. They are sustainable development goals that have been set by the United Nations, of course. I mean, you're talking there, Sherwin, about the South Africans just pushing this agenda, getting on with the business of the summit. But I wonder to what extent Donald Trump has rained on South Africa's parade. How big a setback is it for the host that neither the US president or his vice president, J.D. Vance, will be there?
Well, this has been a strange year since South Africa's ascendancy to the G20. They took over in December last year, and of course, Donald Trump ascended back to the White House in January, passed an executive order sort of impugning the governance of the African National Congress-led government here in terms of white Afrikaners in particular misrepresenting land grabs that are simply not happening. And that really has impugned the bilateral relationship and by its very nature, the multilateral relationship that South Africa was seeking to lead. South Africa's trying to engage with the United States, but it's been difficult to shift them from their position. But we have seen a more robust posture, if I may, in terms of how the South Africans are responding. They've always sought to engage with the United States, but they've been very reluctant to do that. And what happened over the last 24 hours is a note verbal, this official diplomatic communication was sent to the South African government, saying at this very late stage that the United States sought to participate in the handover ceremony, essentially the ceremonial event where you hand the gavel over to the incoming president. And so they indicated at a very last moment, after saying they would not participate at all, that they wanted to be at the handover ceremony. And that led to the South African president saying, well, you know, here's a bit of an opening. We've always sought for the United States to be part inside of the tent rather than outside of the tent. And maybe there was a bit of an opening here. And the United States White House secretary came out yesterday, Carolyn Leavitt, and repudiated that by talking about South Africa's president as, quote, running his mouth. The South Africans also then responded by saying that they would not be handing over to a chargé, the head of the embassy in Pretoria. And so there's this diplomatic stink that is, on the sidelines, I would say, of what's happening in Johannesburg over this weekend.
A diplomatic stink. And this claim from the president, the US president, that white Afrikaners are being killed and slaughtered and their land seized. Donald Trump made these allegations, of course, directly to Cyril Ramaphosa at the Oval Office. He dimmed the lights. He played a video. He showed.
I was there.
You were there. Well, take us inside the room. I mean, it was just this extraordinary moment, wasn't it? Yeah.
And if you watched it, Nick, remember the fortitude from the South African delegation. I think they learned lessons from Volodymyr Zelensky's visit to the Oval in February of the same year. And so learned some lessons. And if you watch the stoic nature of South Africa's response to that, it was very calm, collected. They were there to discuss a broader economic relationship, the extension of AGOA, the African Growth and Opportunity Act, this free trade agreement between sub-Saharan Africa and the United States. So they had broad goals that they were seeking to attain and didn't want to get into a sort of a spar with the United States president in front of the cameras before the actual bilateral had taken place. Look, there is no white genocide in South Africa. There are no land grabs by the black majority in South Africa. What South Africa has is a crime problem that affects all races. And so, the institution of this refugee problem, a program that the United States is seeking to resettle up to 700 white Afrikaners annually, the only racial group that is being accepted entry into the United States right now, so I think speaks for itself.
Yeah. We talk about being Zelenskyd now, don't we? And we talk about being Ramaphosa as well. I mean, the president of South Africa has become a verb. You're a proud South African, Sherwin. I wonder how it makes you feel that Africa is hosting this G20 summit. You're normally based at the United Nations in New York. You've been brought home to cover this, which is a sign of the magnitude of the story. Give us a sense of your personal view on this, of this historic moment covering this event in your homeland.
It's an extraordinary moment for South Africans, but we are not new to hosting big events. We've Sure. hosted rugby World Cups, we've hosted the soccer World Cup, we've hosted global events, be that in the development space, in the financial space. So this is not new to us. I think what South Africa is currently facing are some struggles economically, seeking to sort of break out of a low growth trap. And that has sort of impugned the direction, if you will, of Nelson Mandela's democracy. But South Africa is seeking, in the context of this global spat, in the context of it taking Israel to the International Court of Justice, in the context of the accusations that we've been talking about from the United States, it's seeking to put on a good show, but it's also seeking to affirm what the majority in that G20 room, in the absence of the United States, is seeking to address, and that is how you move the sustainable development goals, how you move the development trajectory in terms of economic growth and humanity forward. And the United States is disavowing climate change. It calls renewable energy a green, the biggest scam. And that is not the consensus in the room. So it's going to be interesting in terms of the outcome document that will be agreed. The United States has objected already, said they will not affirm this document. So, how does the majority stand against the minority that in this instance happens to be the United States and maybe Argentina?
Sherwin Brice-Peace from the South African Broadcasting Corporation, thank you so much for joining us on ABC Radio National.
Thank you, Nick.
Getting in touch with ABC RN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.